the suspect's picture out to the public after that call. Then, feet of water from Idalia filling a North Carolina community.
This happens over and over.
Hear from a frustrated business owner who's waiting to assess the damage.
Idalia has moved out, but not all the storm risks have. How long the rip current dangers last.
New tonight, we are hearing the 911 call to police pleading for help during the deadly shooting at UNC and the detailed description that helped law enforcement quickly find the suspect. Thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. The operator asked the person for a description and they respond, I do. I know exactly who it is. WRL's Matt Tallhelm is live now with what these calls reveal about the timeline of what happened. Matt.
Yeah, Deborah, that call lasts just about 4 minutes. The caller's name has been redacted, so we don't know who exactly it is that made that call, but she was able to give a very good description of the suspected gunman, what he was wearing, even the type of gun he had. She even spells the name of the graduate student who is now charged in connection with the killing of his professor.
Flowers now rest in a memorial below the repaired glass of a window pane pierced by a bullet. 3 days earlier, a 911 call from inside this office alerted UNC police to a threat from within their own campus community.
911, where's your emergency? It's an auto shooter on campus.
That breathless call came in at 12:58 Monday afternoon. Colleagues frantically rushed to the aid of Professor Suji Yen. He had just been shot in his office in this ground-level wing of Caudill Labs.
Close the doors. Close the doors and stay inside. Close the doors. Close the doors. Close the doors and stay inside. There's an active shooter. Please get the message of an active shooter.
That emergency alert went out less than 5 minutes later at 1:03 with the message, armed dangerous person on or near campus, go inside now. It gave no description of that person, but police already had his name, thanks to the 911 caller.
Do you have a description of him?
I do. I know exactly who it is.
Who is it?
I know. Student went into Keenan. I know who the student is. His name is Pali, P-A-I-L-E-I, D-2-I, and he has a gun, and he's on campus.
Okay, where'd you last see him at?
He's in his office. I saw him leaving the building.
And it is a student?
It's a graduate student. I'm telling them to send an ambulance, but you need to lock the campus down. I see students walking past this building left and right. I don't know where he went. You can look him up on our website. You can see a picture right there. Of him.
More than an hour and a half went by before UNC police sent out this photo of Chi as a person of interest. The campus remained in lockdown while police searched for him. WRL was there as officers arrested Chi in a Chapel Hill neighborhood more than a mile away. The doctoral student is now charged with the murder of his academic advisor.
Now, that 911 call and the police report on this list, the time of the incident is 12:58. That's 4 minutes earlier than what university officials have been saying in press conferences over the last few days. We have asked them to clarify that discrepancy. We've also asked UNC police why his picture and his name weren't put out there faster, since they already had it there right around the 1 o'clock hour. We have not heard back.
A 911 caller so helpful in this investigation. Matt Tallhelm live in Chapel Hill. Thank you, Matt.
In a busy area near some shopping centers and other restaurants and businesses in Durham, a police investigation looking into a shooting. This is where it's happening, just west of 885. I'm going to zoom in on the map and give you an idea of exactly where we're talking about. The intersection of Holloway Street at Rainer Street, right in this location, is closed right now. Police just confirming this just a few minutes before we went on the air. We have no idea in terms of the number of people involved. I did ask DPD about any arrests in this case. No response on that yet. Sky 5 is heading to the scene, as well as the breaking news tracker. But there are a lot of businesses in this area, and a couple of streets around here are going to be closed for a while as police try and piece all of this together and search for anyone or any evidence that may be involved here as well. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Tonight, cars submerged, homes and businesses flooded after Idalia left its mark. Today, North Carolina tries to dry out and assess the damage. We have team coverage from the communities hardest hit by this storm. Monica Casey is on the Outer Banks, where the roads turned into rivers this morning. WRL's Chelsea Donovan begins our coverage in Whiteville, where the streets look more like streams today. Chelsea.
Gerald, there is a state of emergency here in the city of Whiteville, and you can see why. All of that rain, courtesy of the tropical storm, and Soul Swamp in the southern part of the city has overflowed its banks. And of course, this, though, is the same scene that's playing out storm after storm after storm. You can actually see water rushing out of some of these businesses here. But for these shop owners, actually getting here to assess the damage is half the battle. We met Audria McPherson Bailey as she was weaving her way through downtown in waterlogged shoes. We walked with her for blocks as she tried to even get a glimpse of her brand new children's clothing shop, Signs of Water, along the way.
This is our first experience with the water rise in downtown Whiteville.
As we hit the southern side of downtown Whiteville, the street is a river, some parts like roaring rapids.
But a lot of these businesses are reliving their nightmare all over again.
Owners peek into their shops stacked with sandbags. Others wade in waist-deep water to assess the damage caused by the floodwaters. Water pours out of businesses some 2 feet deep inside.
It's rushing so hard that I had to hold to the building so that I wouldn't get swept in a current.
Crystal Maudlin is angry. Her family has had an accounting firm in this area for decades.
This happens over and over. Every time we have a hurricane, every time we have a storm, it floods like a wash bin.
Floyd, Florence, Matthew, now Idalia, leaving this exact same stamp on downtown Whiteville. McPherson Bailey's husband puts on waders to check her shop in the distance, the highest one on this street.
Our shop, it was built 2 feet above flood stage for this area.
With each trudge through water, she waits as he makes it to the door.
We are blessed that it's not in our building. I mean, my heart breaks for everybody else around us.
Coming back here live on South Madison Street in the city of Whiteville, you can see those rapids here in downtown still roaring. It's a big current here in the city of Whiteville. Of course, one of the bits of good news is that the water is slowly receding. Audria, like you saw, she's one of the lucky ones. She was spared. But for most of these shop owners that you see here, that cleanup process begins tomorrow. Likely a lot of water damage, and it's cleanup that they've done time and time before.
Boy, I know how frustrated they must be, and you feel so sorry for those people, but this is where they live and this is where they work. Chelsea Donovan, live in Whiteville, thank you.
Well, the area Chelsea was in, it received just more than 9 inches of rain, 9.4 inches. Meteorologist Mike Mays is joining us now in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Mike, this area, as they've said, have seen the flooding before, and now it's cleaning up again.
Yeah, when it was with Florence back in 2018, it was over 30 inches of rain that that region saw. Now, we had inches of rain last night from Fayetteville through Harrells. Harrells almost about 7 inches of rain. Officially added RDU was 1.53. And per the Doppler rainfall estimates, we see the oranges and the yellows. That's anywhere from 4 to 10 inches of rain, and around Whiteville, as Deb mentioned, they had over 9 inches of rain. Over toward Beaufort, it was about 10 inches of rain, so a big soaking in the area that we anticipated that to be, and also flooding. Now, the storm is moving away, moving quickly to the east at about 21 miles per hour. You can see it on the right-hand side of the screen, but still strong winds hitting the Outer Banks. 36 mile per hour wind gust right now over toward Hatteras, 23 at Manio, 28 over toward Duck and Nags Head. These winds will ease as the storm moves away, so they will see some improvement, Deb, as we get it over the weekend.
I'm sure that they're glad for that. Thank you, Mike. The Outer Banks are still seeing some impacts right now.
WRL's Monica Casey has been in the Nags Head and Redanthe areas today. She joins us live. Monica, what are you seeing as we approach one of the biggest vacation weekends of the year?
Well, the rain has finally let up here, but the wind really hasn't. If you take a look behind me, those waves are still enormous. No one should be in that water for multiple reasons here today. The state has warned of possibly contaminated water in some of these areas impacted by the storm. Officials say runoff has made its way to the ocean that may have harmful bacteria. That notice says they will be testing as soon as conditions are safe to do so. Rip currents are also going to be an issue here for the next few days. People who I spoke with who were here before this storm rolled in are happy they got a little bit of sun already. So we've been here since last weekend, and the weather was nice and calm and beautiful. We got to see the beautiful moon, and then the wind started picking up, and it got darker and windier, and the waves got bigger. And NC Highway 12 is clear and passable right now, but officials are asking you to stay off that major road if you can, as crews have been working all day to clear the sand and some of the ponding water on that road. People here are hoping they may get some sun tomorrow, but as we know, water quality and the condition of the water here with these large waves could still be an issue. Gerald?
Still going to be a very busy time there in the Outer Banks. It's going to be beautiful, and it's a very popular place to be. We just hope that people heed the advice. Do not get in the water. Thank you, Monica.
Well, it's a great night to hang out by the pool. And if you don't have one, there's a new way for you to get in on the fun. Coming up, the new app giving people a chance to rent a private pool near you. And the reason one county says it shouldn't be happening. And college football season is here. NC State gets ready to kick off against UConn tonight. The one position group ready to bounce back for the Wolfpack this season.
Right now, with inflation taking a bigger bite, more Americans turning to credit cards and falling behind on payments. What you should know, and why the rate of alcohol-related deaths among women is rising. Our report ahead on Nightly News.
Experience the reason more people choose WRAL. Breaking news.
One person is seriously hurt after a hit-and-run crash.
Weather.
And I can confirm it is hailing right now.
Investigations.
Who's in charge of this?
Five on your side, fighting for you.
It's $150,000. Most people would think that's a huge amount of debt.
That's why WRAL is the most watched news in the Triangle. Every newscast, every hour, every single day. WRAL News. That's coverage you can count on.
Attention all users of the Weed Killer Roundup. If you or a loved one were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma after using the Weed Killer Roundup, you may qualify for financial compensation. Call Liberty Legal to determine your eligibility now.
800-619-1370.
In August 2021, a California judge ordered Monsanto to pay $87 million in damages to a couple who were both exposed to Roundup and later diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. It has been determined in court that Monsanto failed to warn Roundup users that the glyphosate in Roundup was a probable cancer-causing carcinogen. If you or a loved one were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma or any other cancer after using Roundup, call Liberty Legal now to see if you qualify for financial compensation. There may be time deadlines, so don't wait. It costs you nothing if you don't win.
Call 800-619-1370. That's 800-619-1370. 800-619-1370.
At the Tractor Place, our passion is digging dirt, and we have the quality Coyote tractors that get the job done. We play in the dirt. We eat the dirt. And we breathe the dirt. And we strive for excellence, from the sale to service. We have the Coyote tractors, UTVs, loaders, backhoes, and all the parts to keep them moving. And the Coyote pack is growing daily.
Come see us at Tractor Place,
where digging dirt is made easy.
Close to the I-540 exit at Buffalo Road, just outside of Knightdale.
Are you a cancer victim who used the Weed Killer Roundup? Did you know that billions of dollars have been set aside to pay victims of serious illness caused by Roundup? If you or a loved one were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after being exposed to glyphosate, the main ingredient found in the Weed Killer Roundup, you may be entitled to significant financial compensation. Call Guardian Legal Network right now for a free case review. The World Health Organization has designated glyphosate a probable human carcinogen. Thousands of agricultural workers and users may have been exposed to serious health risks using this dangerous product. You could be owed significant compensation from the manufacturer. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim. If you or a loved one used Roundup and were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or another form of cancer, call the number on your screen right now for your free case review. If you don't win, you pay nothing.
Call 800-609-9153. That's 800-609-9153.
Back now on WRUL News, this is a live look at Beaufort, how beautiful it is. You know, this area received 10 inches of rain in that storm, but you wouldn't know it by looking at that shot. It is gorgeous. You're looking at WRUL News, available on YouTube TV, Spectrum, and the WRUL app on your TV or streaming device.
A hidden gem, a private oasis, and a tropical retreat. Dozens of backyard pools are available to rent all over the Triangle.
Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur learns some hosts on the pool sharing app Swimply are being warned to shut down or face consequences.
Even though we're dealing with crazy weather and back to school, we still want the option to dip our toes in the pool. And in the state of North Carolina, there's no laws governing backyard pool rentals. But guidance from the Department of Health and Human Services says once you do that, it makes your pool public. And the county is using that guidance to try to shut down the Swimply app.
Chris Pellucci's backyard oasis is a great escape for his family.
We do enjoy cooling off back here.
And lately, he's been sharing that oasis with others who may not have access to a pool by renting his own pool on the sharing app Swimply.
You know, it gives that opportunity for people without, and then gives us the opportunity to, you know, cover our costs.
Swimply works kind of like Airbnb and Vrbo, but it's just for pools and rents by the hour.
Typical is like 2 to 5 people coming, small families.
Things were going swimmingly, you might say, for Pellucci until he got a notice from Orange County.
Stop operating a public pool.
Orange County's letter said Pellucci needed to have a public pool plan review, a commercial-grade pool, and an operational permit from the county to keep operating as a public pool.
I was very confused at first when I received the letter.
The county was citing guidance from North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services that says renting only a private pool at a home means the pool is no longer private. Swimply responded to the county citing different guidance from the same agency that says under the Vacation Rental Act, if you rent a home, the pool at the home remains private.
And it's basically Swimply is being held to a different standard than Airbnb and Vrbo.
Orange County told Five on Your Side they're just following state guidance. DHHS reiterated their position to us that opening up just a home's pool to the public to rent makes it public.
The guidance offered by the state health department is not binding. And so it is merely a suggestion based on their interpretation of the law. It just so happens that their interpretation is wrong.
Stephen Kent is with the Consumer Choice Center and has worked on issues involving the sharing economy in North Carolina since Airbnb bursted onto the scene nearly a decade ago. He says there needs to be clear laws addressing Swimply, and that means action by the state legislature.
The legislature could clarify the Vacation Rentals Act for North Carolina and offer guidance directly to its various enforcement agencies around the state.
We checked with the city of Raleigh, and they tell us they just don't get involved in Swimply rentals. Wake County, on the other hand, says they're going to follow the Department of Health and Human Services guidance, and they are going to investigate pools as needed. Keely Arthur, Five on Your Side.
To show you can rent or lease just about anything.
Just about anything, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are going to be at the pool, hopefully at the beach. And look at this beautiful blue sky we are seeing after all the weather we've been dealing with, Mike.
Yeah, this time yesterday, the WRUL LiveCam Network, all cameras were loaded down with rain. But Sanford, check out the blue sky. WRUL Gardens, the weather's going to be perfect for a stroll this evening. Come on down. It's pretty quiet out there now. Fayetteville, we got you covered with the WRUL Fayetteville Newsroom. Goldsboro, no shimmy to your camera tonight. Winds are much calmer than they were this time last night. And out there right now, Goldsboro, you have 76, feeling so sweet. 79 in Clinton, 80 at Southern Pines, 81 in Raleigh after our 82 today. Dew points have fallen into the 50s. Tomorrow, I think they'll be lower. Our forecast high tomorrow, 82. So I think tomorrow will feel better than today. And then get up and get outside for a walk this evening. The doggies would love it more than they did last night. I'm sure they didn't like getting wet last night. 77 right now, or at least across the area at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 76. By 8 o'clock, about 72. We should have clear sky through the evening. Now, last night, we missed out on the super blue moon because because of the clouds and the rain. Now, if you get out there this evening, you'll see the 99.5% full moon on display, and temperatures will be comfortable. And by daybreak, we expect about 59 here in the Triangle, but some of the more cooler rural areas will likely be in the 50s. Now, we have three systems we're watching in the tropics now. We have Idalia that's gone, moving away. We have Franklin that's moving away as well. And now we have Jose, and top winds around 40 miles per hour. All of these will move away, so we're not concerned about any tropical systems for quite some time. Now, closer to home, our front that brought in the drier air continues to make its way toward the coast. High pressure is building in. It's a high pressure weekend, meaning the weather's going to be nice. Anywhere you travel across the state tomorrow, it looks pretty good. Heading down east toward the coast, the clouds may linger at the Outer Banks, but the rain is gone. 77 at Nag's Head, 82 at Moorhead City, 82 in Wilmington. The mountains look pretty nice as well. On Saturday, 79 at Nag's Head, 83 Moorhead City, 82 at Wilmington. Locally, the weather's fine too. 77 at Boone out west. And then a little warmer on Sunday, about 90 here, 87 at Wilmington, 84 at Moorhead City. And the weather will remain dry for the day on Monday. So enjoy your weekend and have a good time. Clear and cooler tonight, perhaps anywhere from 53 at Roxborough, 59 in Raleigh, 61 Fayetteville, 59 at Goldsboro. And then tomorrow, upper 70s to low 80s, 79 at Roxborough, 82 in Fayetteville. Our football Friday forecast feeling pretty good. Temperatures will be in the 70s for the game, or games, I should say, and the weather will be dry. 84 Saturday, 89 on Sunday, 89 to 90, 93 on Monday, and then 90s Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we may not see any rain return to the forecast until Friday of next week. So a lot of us, especially Fayetteville, Goldsboro, southeastern counties got soaked. They'll have ample time to dry out. Enjoy your weekend, be safe, and just enjoy the dry weather.
Boy, nice timing for the holiday for sure. Thanks, Mike.
Chris Lee is here. They say patience is a virtue.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of patience. We've been waiting 271 days since ACC football action, and tonight the wait is over. After the break, we preview NC State's opener against UConn and what position group could take over for the Pack tonight. It might be a surprise to you. That's next.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Legal Help Center, where we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions and give you a free consultation. I'm Gina Belich, and I'm here with spokesman Rob Reese. And you can reach us by calling the number right on your screen. You can also email us at help@legalhelpcenter.com, or you can go ahead and just visit legalhelpcenter.com and submit a question there. So if you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, we have legal professionals available to answer your questions and let you know what your case is potentially worth. All right, Rob, let's let everyone at home know why they should be calling right now.
Anyone who's been injured in an accident, it was not your fault, and you do not have an attorney, you need to give us a call right now because we're going to answer all of your questions. We'll let you know how much your case is potentially worth. You know, after you've been injured in an accident, it's a very scary and overwhelming time. You probably have a lot of questions. That's why the legal team is available to you today to answer your questions, to let you know how much money you can get for your accident. So don't go it alone.
It's great to see so many people getting the help they need. So Rob, let's also talk about the fact that the phones have been ringing off the hook. What kind of calls have you been seeing?
Gina, we're seeing calls from all kinds of accidents today, from car accidents to slip and falls. We've had a couple of work accidents, truck accidents, and a couple of motorcycle accidents as well. And those could be extremely scary. Those are typically very serious in nature. But the most common by far has been car accidents. So I encourage everyone watching at home, if you've been injured in an accident or someone you know has been injured in an accident that was not their fault and you don't have an attorney, give us a call right now. We're going to take the time to answer all of your questions with a free consultation and let you know how much your case is potentially worth.
Dear housemates, due to the environmental impact of food waste, I'm eating all your leftovers. You're welcome.
Oh, what's this about?
I'm just doing my part for the environment. Is that Mima's punch bowl?
We use way too much plastic. Think of the planet.
Who is the best princess?
The environment is the best excuse. Find an out and opt in at theenvironmentexcuse.org.
WREL Mornings, weatherproof your plans with confidence.
College football begins tonight for some of our local teams. That includes NC State, who thinks they are as deep as ever in one particular position group. More on that in just a bit, as the Wolfpack will be on the road. Well, here at home is a new year, new conference for Mike Minter and his Campbell Camels. Casey Hintz joins us from Campbell's campus with more on their season tonight.
Tonight is a celebration as this new era, as you mentioned, gets underway. And Campbell's present, as head coach Mike Minter put it, is opening up with the defending conference co-champion William and Mary. The Tribe already ranked preseason number 4 in FCS polls. Minter told me they're thinking about trying to win championships. We're just trying to win ball games. And in order to win games this year, he knew they had to go out and get bigger, faster, stronger. The key will just be how all of this new can come together. What isn't new is William and Mary, a team that brings back nearly every starter that the Camels saw last season, albeit in a 37-21 loss. But they're leaning into that mentality of, hey, we've seen these guys before. We know exactly what they bring.
It's not like you're playing the number 4th team in the country and you've never seen them. That's a different deal. You've already, you know, got in the ring with them. You kind of spar with them a little bit, so you know what they're going to bring and you know what they're about. And so now you know what you got to do in order to compete with these guys. And so it's going to be fun. But the great thing is they come to us and not us going to them.
I know fans are also excited. This one is at home. Tons of people out tailgating when I came in here, hoping to see a Camel upset at Barker Lane Stadium. It would be the first ranked win here on home turf. Chris?
All right, we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. In football, it all starts in the trenches. And while the Pack will be missing their linebackers and defensive backs that they lost from last season, defensive coordinator Tony Gibson thinks that the defensive line may be better than the fans anticipate.
In all my years of coaching in this defense, I think this is the best defensive line I've ever had. As a full unit, we're deeper than we've ever been. We feel good about 8 guys going in the game at any time. So really, really like where they're at.
NC State at UConn tonight, kickoff at 7:30. Remember last year they won 41-10. They don't think that's going to be as big of a win this year, so we'll see what happens. Also, the Durham Bulls are playing a doubleheader right now. You can watch that on WRAO+.
All right, Chris, thank you. And thank you for joining us. We're minutes away from NBC Nightly News. Tonight, a health warning for women with drinking-related deaths on the rise. What doctors are saying about women and alcohol.
And Mark, some breaking news right now happening in Durham.
Deborah, Sky 5 just arriving on scene. A shopping center surrounded with crime scene tape, a shooting investigation. You see at least 4 of those orange cones, those evidence markers. That's near the Maxway, not far from the Tropicana supermarket off of Holloway Street. Holloway Street in Durham from Rainer to Briggs Avenue is closed. A very large scene out there this afternoon, and they'll be out there for quite some time. The breaking news tracker as well is on the ground on the left side of your screen. That is the map. If you live in that area trying to head home, you're likely to run into some of those road closures. We don't know if anyone, how many people have been shot or if anyone is in custody. NBC Nightly News is next.
A celebration of North Carolina food, beer, and music. It's That Music Fest, presented by Come Here NC, Saturday, October 14th at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park. A full day of live music on 2 stages with food trucks, a local beer garden, and lawn games. A unique all-day experience on the field at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park. Celebrate North Carolina at That Music Fest, presented by Come Here NC. Learn more at thatmusicfest.com.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get Nano's revolutionary technology for just $297. Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The CIC Recharge is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but 2 Nano hearing aids for just $297. Plus, we'll add a portable charging case and ship your order absolutely free. The CIC Recharge has a tiny in-the-ear canal design that is nearly invisible. Why keep missing out on important conversations or waste thousands of dollars? Call and get 2 CIC Recharge hearing aids for only $297 and free shipping.
800-818-1502. Again, that's 800-818-1502.
If you're living with diabetes,
This is the sound that could change your life.
Great news for people living with diabetes. Now you can wear a continuous glucose monitor and eliminate routine finger sticks. The days of repeated, painful finger sticks are over.
Call 800-882-0861.
If you use insulin daily to manage your condition, a continuous glucose monitor could help you control your diabetes and reduce or eliminate those painful finger sticks. If you have Medicare or private insurance, US Med can deliver a CGM system right to your door. And if you qualify, there may be little or no cost to you. Shipping is free, and we'll even bill your insurer directly. Call now to get your continuous glucose monitoring system so you can take control of your diabetes and get back to enjoying life.
Call 800-882-0861. That's 800-882-0861.
At the Tractor Place, our passion is digging dirt, and we have the quality Coyote tractors that get the job done. We play in the dirt. We eat the dirt. And we breathe the dirt. And we strive for excellence, from the sale to service. We have the Coyote tractors, UTVs, loaders, backhoes, and all the parts to keep them moving. And the Coyote pack is growing daily.
Come see us at the Tractor Place,
where digging dirt is made easy.
Close to the I-540 exit at Buffalo Road, just outside of Knightdale.
The most experienced severe weather team.
All of West Durham is officially under a level 2 risk for severe weather.
Is covering your neighborhood with a certified accurate forecast only on WRAL News. That's coverage you can count on.
Hearing the 911 call to police pleading for help during the deadly shooting at UNC and the detailed description that helped law enforcement quickly find the suspect. Thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. The operator asks the person for a description, and they respond, I do. I know exactly who it is. WRL's Matt Tallhelm is live now with what these calls reveal about the timeline of what happened. Matt?
Yeah, Deborah, that call lasts just about 4 minutes. The caller's name has been redacted, so we don't know who exactly it is that made that call, but she was able to give a very good description of the suspected gunman, what he was wearing, even the type of gun he had. She even spells the name of the graduate student who is now charged in connection with the killing of his professor.
Flowers now rest in a memorial below the repaired glass of a window pane pierced by a bullet. 3 days earlier, a 911 call from inside this office alerted UNC police to a threat from within their own campus community.
911, where's your emergency? It's an auto shooter on campus.
That breathless call came in at 12:58 Monday afternoon. Colleagues frantically rushed to the aid of Professor Suji Yen. He had just been shot in his office in this ground-level wing of Caudill Labs.
Close the doors. Close the doors and stay inside. Close the doors. Close the doors. Close the doors and stay inside. There's an active shooter. Please get the message of an active shooter.
That emergency alert went out less than 5 minutes later at 1:03 with the message, armed dangerous person on or near campus, go inside now. It gave no description of that person, but police already had his name, thanks to the 911 caller.
Do you have a description of him? I do. I know exactly who it is. Who is it? I know. Student went into Keenan. I know who the student is. His name is Pali, P-A-I-L-E-I, D-2-I, and he has a gun, and he's on campus. Okay, where'd you last see him at? He's in his office. I saw him leaving the building. And it is a student? It's a graduate student. I'm telling them to send an ambulance, but you need to lock the campus down. I see students walking past this building left and right. I don't know where he went. You can look him up on our website. You can see a picture right there of him.
More than an hour and a half went by before UNC police sent out this photo of Chi as a person of interest. The campus remained in lockdown while police searched for him. WRL was there as officers arrested Chi in a Chapel Hill neighborhood more than a mile away. The doctoral student is now charged with the murder of his academic advisor.
Now, that 911 call and the police report on this list, the time of the incident is 12:58. That's 4 minutes earlier than what university officials have been saying in press conferences over the last few days. We have asked them To clarify that discrepancy, we've also asked UNC police why his picture and his name weren't put out there faster, since they already had it there right around the 1 o'clock hour. We have not heard back.
A 911 caller so helpful in this investigation. Matt Tallhelm, live in Chapel Hill. Thank you, Matt.
In a busy area near some shopping centers and other restaurants and businesses in Durham, a police investigation looking into a shooting. This is where it's happening, just west of 885. I'm going to zoom in on the map and give you an idea of exactly where we're talking about. The intersection of Holloway Street at Rainer Street, right in this location, is closed right now. Police just confirming this just a few minutes before we went on the air. We have no idea in terms of the number of people involved. I did ask DPD about any arrests in this case. No response on that yet. Sky 5 is heading to the scene, as well as the breaking news tracker. But there are a lot of businesses in this area, and a couple of streets around here are going to be closed for a while as police try and piece all of this together and search for anyone or any evidence that may be involved here as well. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Tonight, cars submerged, homes and businesses flooded after Idalia left its mark. Today, North Carolina tries to dry out and assess the damage. We have team coverage from the communities hardest hit by this storm. Monica Casey is on the Outer Banks, where the roads turned into rivers this morning. WRO's Chelsea Donovan begins our coverage in Whiteville, where the streets look more like streams today. Chelsea.
Gerald, there is a state of emergency here in the city of Whiteville, and you can see why. All of that rain, courtesy of the tropical storm, and Soul Swamp in the southern part of the city has overflowed its banks. And of course, this, though, is the same scene that's playing out storm after storm after storm. You can actually see water rushing out of some of these businesses here. But for these shop owners, actually getting here to assess the damage is half the battle. We met Audrea McPherson Bailey as she was weaving her way through downtown in waterlogged shoes. We walked with her for blocks as she tried to even get a glimpse of her brand new children's clothing shop, Signs of Water, along the way.
This is our first experience with the water rise in downtown Whiteville.
As we hit the southern side of downtown Whiteville, the street is a river, some parts like roaring rapids.
But a lot of these businesses are reliving their nightmare all over again.
Owners peek into their shops stacked with sandbags. Others wade in waist-deep water to assess the damage caused by the floodwaters. Water pours out of businesses some 2 feet deep inside.
It's rushing so hard that I had to hold to the building so that I wouldn't get swept in a current.
Crystal Maudlin is angry. Her family has had an accounting firm in this area for decades.
This happens over and over. Every time we have a hurricane, every time we have a storm, it floods like a wash bin.
Floyd, Florence, Matthew, now Idalia, leaving this exact same stamp on downtown Whiteville. McPherson Bailey's husband puts on waders to check her shop in the distance, the highest one on this street.
Our shop, it was built 2 feet above flood stage for this area.
With each trudge through water, she waits as he makes it to the door.
We are blessed that it's not in our building. I mean, my heart breaks for everybody.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
I'm Brett Neese, live in the WRAL breaking news tracker this morning, where a chase ended in this Raleigh neighborhood. Coming up, the gunfire that erupted shortly after.
Plus, developing in Durham, two people are dead after multiple shootings erupt across Durham. What we're learning about the investigations.
And it's a cooler start for us this morning. Temperatures about 10 degrees cooler than this time yesterday, but we'll talk about our holiday forecast and how it feels for Labor Day coming up.
We're live at Wrightsville Beach now, less than 24 hours after Idalia. Just ahead, how lifeguards are warning people about rip current risk ahead of the holiday weekend.
And it is a big holiday weekend on tap. Boy, we sent August out in some fashion yesterday, September 1st. Welcome to your Friday. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu, and essentially welcome to your Labor Day weekend, yeah, since it basically starts today, right? And we're going to have beautiful weather. Wow, when you walk outside right now, though, it feels so refreshing. Anthony, I think I needed an extra layer. I almost had goosebumps walking into the building.
I know. It's a big change compared to, you know, this time yesterday, even where we were the past couple of days. It feels refreshing, almost that taste of fall as you walk outside. Good morning to all of you as we head into this Labor Day weekend. Yeah, we're about 10 to 15 degrees cooler than this time yesterday. Idalia is gone, and it's going to be a nice calm start to this weekend. We're at 61 in Raleigh, 58 in Goldsboro right now, 58 for South Hill, and 61 in Clinton. So no issues here as we start. We're going to see high temperatures very similar to what we saw yesterday, below where we should be, but right about, let's say, 83 into the afternoon. Sunshine galore here. So if you're traveling for any of those plans here to get started, we're looking good. There is that Labor Day forecast. One kind of minor change that we have here in the forecast is it's supposed to be a little bit hotter now. So as opposed to the low 90s, we're thinking probably about 95 there at 4 o'clock. Otherwise, lots of sunshine, no issues here for us into early next week. We will time out that full weekend forecast though and go hour by hour here into the Labor Day weekend coming up here in a few, guys.
Thanks, Anthony. We'll get you that breaking news right now. We're following in Raleigh just before 1:30 this morning. Shots were fired in a neighborhood after a driver led authorities on a chase. This happened near East and Branch Streets. Brett Neese is there in the WRL breaking news tracker, and there are several other agencies there as well. Brett, what does that tell you when you look at this?
Yeah, Jeff, that means that it had to be some sort of chase. We know Johnson County sheriff's deputies are involved in this, along with the highway patrol. And now Raleigh police are at this scene here in southeast Raleigh. I want to show you the video from the WRL breaking news tracker of this scene from overnight. This happened all around 1:30 this morning, ending here in this neighborhood at Branch Street. We're working to learn where exactly that chase began and how it all unfolded, but we know that it had to include Johnson County at some point because they have their sheriff's deputies here, SBI, also on the scene. And that includes part of the investigation with the shots that were fired. We're working to learn who fired those shots. We know residents heard several gunshots around 1:30 this morning. It's unclear who fired them. We're working to learn whether or not an officer was involved in that part of this entire situation. As soon as we get an update from police, we'll pass that along. Live in Raleigh, Brittany, WRL News.
We're following a developing story in Durham this morning. There are a lot of questions right now after two people were shot and killed and several others hurt. Police say it happened across three separate shooting scenes. WRL's Eric Miller joins us live from Durham now. Eric, do investigators believe the string of violence is all connected somehow?
Oh, good morning, Renee. That is a key question that police here at DPD, they are looking into this morning. Of course, all three of these shootings separated by just minutes and scattered across only a handful of miles in Durham. It's an afternoon of violence that police and neighbors are still reckoning with this morning. Now, what exactly happened here? First, I want to send you to the Village Shopping Center. That's at the corner of Holloway Street and North Miami Boulevard. DPD says three people were shot there just before 5 p.m. One victim, a man, died at the hospital. Two others, a man and a juvenile, are expected to recover. Now, evidence markers there and crime scene tape, they filled that parking lot. At almost the same time, though, two blocks away at Holloway and Briar Streets, police say another man was shot. He died there at that scene. Now, the third shooting, it happened again at almost the same time, this time outside the Sun Ridge Point townhomes on Fargo Street. You can see here this video from Sky 5, more than a dozen evidence markers scattered there all over the ground. One man was shot there. We're told he is expected to recover. A young man, a minor, was detained in that shooting. Now, again, so many unanswered questions with these three shootings scattered across town. We're working to learn the names of the victims as well as what led up to all three of these incidents. Renee, we'll keep pressing for more details, bring you answers as soon as we get them. In Durham, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
People in Columbus County, the city of Whiteville specifically, are waiting for floodwaters to recede before they can fully assess the damage left behind by Idalia. Now, check out the video from Sky 5 here. There are large portions of the town that were left underwater after that heavy rainfall Idalia dropped caused surrounding swamps to overflow. Business owners in downtown Whiteville are now facing a lengthy cleanup and repair effort. Emergency responders say they made several water rescues yesterday as people tried to drive through that water.
Idalia's impact lingers this morning as we start the Labor Day weekend. The North Carolina coast is usually a hot spot for families. Kelsey Coffey joins us live this morning again from Wrightsville Beach. Kelsey, things are much different 24 hours after the storm. What can people expect if they're headed to the beach? Hey, Renee, good morning. Well, people can expect blue skies and sunshine. The only reason why I even have on this rain jacket is because I'm cold. Like Anthony mentioned, that temperature has definitely dropped. But if you're coming out to the beach this weekend, this is the perfect time to go. But lifeguards are warning people about rip current risk in the aftermath of Idalia. Now, Wes Carter with the Wrightsville Beach Search and Rescue says with college students coming back to town and tourists enjoying the last few days of summer, they're expecting large crowds this Labor Day weekend, so they're keeping a close eye on the water.
We've kind of been watching the swell, watching the waves, and making sure that we know where the rips are and where people should and should not swim.
And just as a reminder, if you're headed out to the beach this weekend, there's a few things that you need to do. The first thing is check the flag system to make sure that it's a safe day to swim. If you choose to go out and swim, be sure to swim near a lifeguard and bring a flotation device. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Wrightsville Beach. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, most people view Labor Day as their last official summer vacation. So a lot of people will be traveling by plane, and keeping an eye on RDU for you this morning. Right now, only showing about 5 delays, no cancellations, which is some good news. RDU says they are expecting to exceed a record that was set back in 2019. They're expecting about 250,000 passengers. So if you are traveling by air, always a good idea just to check your flight before you head out the door. AAA says domestic travel up 4% and international travel, that is what's up 44% this year. Most travelers will be leaving today. So again, if you're planning to travel by air, good idea to get there early.
And for those who plan to hit the road, we checked and got the newest numbers for you taking road trips this weekend to mark the unofficial end to summer. AAA says North Carolina's gas average, $3.53 a gallon. Last year, this time, we were paying $3.54, so about the same. National average today, $3.81.
The 911 call obtained by WREL giving more insight into the moments following the shooting at UNC Chapel Hill that left a professor dead. A caller said they say the suspect with a gun and described him to the dispatcher.
Student went into Kenan. I know who the student is. His name is Talai, T-A-I-L-E-I, C-Q-I, and he has a gun. And he's on campus. He's wearing jeans and a shirt. I don't know, he's Asian, gray shirt.
Okay, where'd you last see him at?
He's in his, I saw him leaving the building.
And it is a student?
It's a graduate student. I'm telling them to send an ambulance.
Students returned to class yesterday at UNC for the first time since Monday's shooting.
New this morning, a person is in custody after leading troopers on a chase in Clayton. Highway Patrol says the chase started around 9 last night on Amelia Church Road. Troopers were able to make the arrest without any injuries. No word on what started the chase or what charges the person may be facing.
Starting today, a new superintendent begins his job for Edgecombe County Public Schools. Dr. Andrew Bryan served nearly a decade as Lee County Public Schools superintendent. Under his leadership, the district launched the International Baccalaureate Program. He also worked to restore and renovate a former Rosenwald school to preserve the community's African-American heritage.
Heartbreak and frustration in South Africa this morning after a five-story building fire claims the lives of more than 70 people. Why the government there is now being criticized.
Plus, former President Donald Trump pleads not guilty to charges in Georgia. Developments, the new ones this morning, we're learning about his upcoming trial centered around the 2020 election, including a judge's ruling about the public.
And you're looking live at Carolina Beach, where a lot of people, I'm sure, will be headed for the holiday weekend. Anthony Baglione is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking conditions for the Labor Day weekend.
From the WRAL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
Welcome back. It is 4:44 here on this Friday morning. Of course, yesterday was busy with a tropical storm Idalia pushing through. I want to show you here where this storm system is currently, because this will affect any of those beach plans the next couple of days. It's now what we call a post-tropical cyclone, which means it's not necessarily a warm core. The center of this system is very warm. It's just kind of sitting there at a normal system here that we watch. 60-mile-per-hour winds. It's moving east-southeast at about 16. There is that current track, though, that we're watching this morning. And so it's going to, in fact, we just got a brand new one there, so I have to update that. But it looks like it's going to stay here right about Bermuda and then kind of curve around up to the north and west. So it's going to be there for a little bit, and we're going to have to watch for that rip current threat for us today. Otherwise, though, temperatures here in the upper 70s, near 80.
Front page of this week's edition of UNC's student newspaper, the Daily Tar Heel, is drawing national attention. It shows text messages to and from students while they were in lockdown Monday. President Biden even shared it on social media. The paper's print managing editor talked to WREL and says she's grateful for the reach this front page has had.
My hope is to tell a story of a really scary 3 hours that we had on our campus on Monday. I hope people see the reality of the impacts of gun violence, at least in our community.
And she says the Daily Tar Heel staff is now focused on examining what happened over the course of those 3 hours that the university was on lockdown and how the university handles crisis communications.
At least 74 people are dead, dozens more hurt after an intense fire ripped through a five-story building in South Africa. At least 12 children are among the victims. Officials there say the building was abandoned, but it was filled with an estimated 200 homeless people. This morning, the government in Johannesburg is facing criticism.
It's a wake-up call for us to begin to address the situation of housing in the inner city.
South Africa's president promised to root out the criminal gangs who had taken control of that abandoned building. He says they will also launch an investigation into what caused the deadly fire.
President Biden is traveling to Florida tomorrow to survey Idalia's aftermath. He stopped by FEMA's headquarters to thank workers yesterday. With survivors of both Hurricane Idalia and the Maui wildfires still working to clean up, the Federal Disaster Relief Fund is running low. It's now down to a little under $3.5 billion, with the U.S. already seeing 17 disasters costing about $1 billion each so far this year. That is nearly as many as in all of 2022, with months of hurricane season still ahead.
While immediate needs funding will ensure we can continue to respond to disasters, it is not a permanent solution.
President Biden is urging lawmakers to seek spending cuts to meet the disaster relief request. Many Republicans oppose the proposal to link disaster relief funds to more emergency money for Ukraine. Lawmakers in both parties in Florida are pressing to restore the FEMA fund.
Former President Donald Trump's election interference case in Georgia will be televised. That's according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The newspaper says all court proceedings with Trump and 18 co-defendants will be broadcast live on the Fulton County Court YouTube channel. Trump's defense team pleaded not guilty on his behalf in the case yesterday.
People living in Goldsboro have less than 24 hours to share their thoughts on how police can better serve them. A citizen survey was made available on the department's website earlier this month. Your honest feedback will help them provide the highest level of service. The survey ends tonight at midnight.
The North Carolina's Lottery Commission has taken the next step toward launching sports betting. They hired Gaming Laboratories International, a consulting firm that will assist in such areas as developing rules, licensing procedures, and an audit program. State law gives the commission until June of next year to lay all the groundwork so that people can bet on sports.
College football is back in action tomorrow. It's the Battle of the Carolinas. UNC hits the field against South Carolina in Charlotte for their season opener. ESPN's College Game Day crew will host its first ever on-site game day there tomorrow. Tar Heels and Gamecocks kick off at 7:30 tomorrow night. got underway for NC State yesterday as well. This game ended past our newscast last night pretty late, Anthony, but UNC with a win on the road at UConn, and they had good football weather for it.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful here for us, even into tonight for any of those Friday night football games, too. Really no big complaints for us, and you walk outside this morning, it's almost that taste of fall where you kind of need a light jacket or just kind of warm up the car a little bit. We're seeing temperatures here compared to this time yesterday across the state, about 10 to 15 degrees cooler. So that's what these storm systems do. They take energy from one place and kind of spread it out. What Idalia did here is just that, and we're seeing those cooler temperatures as a result. We're at 50 degrees right now in Roxborough, a little bit cool, 58 in Goldsboro, 61 in Raleigh and Durham, 58. Good morning to you in South Hill, Virginia. There's a live look right now in Apex as opposed to yesterday. Roads are nice and dry at this point. This is going to be our big factor, too, as we head into today. We talk about our muggy meter a lot of times this time of the year. We're at 58 degree dew points. That puts us plain and simple right in the comfortable category, and we will be in that for us today. Maybe a touch more humid tomorrow, but it's still not going to be pretty noticeable. We're at 83 this afternoon. Lots of sunshine. If you're traveling or head out, no problems for us today. We head into Labor Day. It will be hotter, though. I think we'll see temperatures probably back in the low to mid 90s, a little bit more humidity, sunshine. But let's say you're doing any cooking out, grilling, things like that. It should still be pretty good during the day. No rain chances expected, so you can rest easy here as far as the weather's concerned. Along our beaches today, though, if you're headed that way, we're seeing temperatures pretty comfortable, upper 70s, low 80s. It will, though, be breezy. We're still talking winds gusting probably 25 to 35. And then we're going to also see those high rip currents in some spots. If you see those red flags flying, of course, don't go in the water. That's meaning those rip currents are high and we're not going to see those really change here for us today. Where you see the yellow showing up as you head toward Atlantic Beach, that's in that moderate category. Wherever you're going, though, just make sure to be careful this weekend. We still have post-tropical cyclone Idalia. This is the brand new advisory. It's very close to Bermuda right there. That's what's kind of churning up the water and it's going to sit there for a couple days. We're going to watch that continue up to the north there by Tuesday, still a tropical storm at 50 mile per hour winds. There's where we are headed, though. Look how nice that forecast is. We're at 83 today, 84 tomorrow, 90 on Sunday. We see temperatures heat back up there into Monday for Labor Day at 95. Really, though, guys, this is going to be a good forecast to head outside. Low humidity, just a really enjoyable one here this weekend.
We certainly will.
That's
Anthony, thank you.
So
yeah. A 6 recall in just 2 months for Trader Joe's. Up next, we'll explain what you'll need to check your kitchen for this morning.
And why a hidden Tesla feature is now raising concerns and prompting a federal investigation. The Pentagon says its newest website is a one-stop shop for declassified UFO information. The site launched yesterday, and it has links to publicly available records about UFO investigations. That includes videos and reports. A Pentagon spokesperson says this is the next step to the process for the government to be more transparent about reported UFO sightings.
Today is National Police Canine Day, and runners are lacing up their shoes to honor fallen police dogs. Runners from all over the country are participating in a virtual Fallen Canine Memorial Run. The run honors canines killed in the line of duty, including Franklin County Canine Major, who died last year in a standoff. The money goes to support Canine United, which provides training and equipment for canine units across the country.
Ford is recalling nearly 42,000 trucks because of an issue that may cause the left rear axle shaft to break. The recall applies to 2023 F-250 and 350 Super Duty trucks. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the axle shaft may have been improperly heat treated during manufacturing.
Trader Joe's issued its 6th recall in 2 months. The company says its Texas Tamale Company gourmet black bean tamales may contain milk allergens. The FDA says it issued the recall after people complained that the packaging didn't mention the presence of milk. So far, no illnesses have been reported.
A hidden Tesla feature is coming under scrutiny right now. It allows drivers to turn off safety alerts while on autopilot. Federal safety investigators are looking into the feature, unofficially called the Elon mode. It allows drivers to disable safety alerts designed to keep their hands on the wheel. The probe comes as part of a wider investigation into the software after a number of crashes. 2 lawsuits against Tesla over the autopilot technology are expected to go to trial this fall.
Don't forget, it is Football Friday. You can catch all your favorite high school teams in action tonight right here on WREL. It kicks off at 11:35 p.m.
Next at 5, we have breaking news in Raleigh where there is a heavy law enforcement presence following a chase. Brett Neese is near that scene in the breaking news tracker working to gather details.
Plus, today starts a busy holiday travel weekend. What people headed to the North Carolina coast need to know.
And the son of former South Carolina lawyer Alec Murdoch is speaking out on his father's conviction. What he had to say is coming up.